we are talking about happy people. We talked about Yitzhak Avinu was a happy person. His name was Yitzhak. David HaMelech was happy. He wrote Psalms in a very happy way. Hopefully, he was happy. And we talked about Nachum Ish Gamzu. Gamzu Latov. Everything is for the best. And my vote goes to Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to talk to you about Rabbi Akiva. But before we go to Rabbi Akiva, let's go to his rabbis. Who were Rabbi Akiva's rabbis? So it all starts off with Hillel. Who was Hillel? So the rabbis tell us Hillel came from Babylon. Hillel was, he made Aliyah. He came from Babylon. He came to Israel to learn by the feet of the two great rabbis, Shemaya and Avtalion, who were the rabbis at that time. And he sat over there, he learned with them. It says he would earn a certain amount. Half the money he earned would go to his tuition to go into the yeshiva. The other half he used for supporting his family. Imagine, 50% of his income went to enter the yeshiva. In those days, it's hard tuition. He's going to the yeshiva. And one day he never had any money, and we all know the story. He stayed on the skylight, and it was snowing, and he froze on a Shabbat. It was a Shabbat. He froze over there, and they break Shabbat for him. They take him down, and they put him by the fire. They said, for this kind of person, it's fantastic to break Shabbat for this kind of person. They broke Shabbat for him. That's Rabbi Akiva. Hillel. Hillel had 80 students. Hillel, the great Hillel, had 80 students. The greatest of whom was Rav Yonatan ben Uziel. He is buried in a place called Amuka, which a lot of people go to find a shidduch. They go to Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, who's buried in Amuka. Amuka is in the Galilee. It's a place called Amuka. Why is it Amuka? Because it's a very deep valley. Amok, from the word Amok. You go there, and it's interesting because someone just built a road there. A very rich, obviously, American guy. Because there was never a proper road to Amuka. You had to go around this path. It was a gravelly path, very dangerous to drive there. And he said, told the government, why do you build a road? He said, we can't afford it. Okay, I'll donate. He donated the road. Amazing. It's a beautiful road, brand new road. And people go there all times, the day and night. But there's no electricity at night. There's no electricity over there. Strange, they didn't put electricity over there. So at night, you got to go with a generator. You got to bring your own generator, your flashlights. I've been there at night a few times. With the yeshiva, they brought a generator. And people go there to pray for their shidduch. But Yonatan ben Uziel was the highest student of Hillel. The greatest student, the 80 students of Hillel, he was the greatest student. It says when he learned Torah, there was a fire going up around him. There was fire around him. It's a very interesting agadita in the Gemara. It's a very good question. So I've heard different explanations. But there's no truth. This is just a tradition. Tradition. Sometimes it works. Sometimes people meet over there. That's on the bus going there. And that's, I've heard a story that the people met on the bus going there. It's an amazing story.
The rabbi's name is Yonatan what?
Yonatan ben Uziel. Uziel. Ozi v'zimratia. My strength. Uziel. My strength comes from God. Uziel.
Thank you.
Yonatan ben Uziel. The greatest of the 80 students of Hillel. And who is the smallest student of Hillel? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest student of Hillel, and he became the chief rabbi. All the students, he's the smallest student of Hillel. I'm not saying that, I'm not inventing this. This is written down. I wouldn't say it otherwise. He was the smallest student of Hillel, and from him comes our Mesorah. From the smallest student of Hillel comes the Mesorah. He's the chief rabbi at the time of the destruction of the temple. Second temple was destroyed. He was the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. And he negotiates with Vespasian at that time. Vespasian was heading the army, the Roman army. And we know the story. We're going to talk about it later on. So anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 students. And that's where we catch up in Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot, so we have to understand, it was Hillel. Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest student of the 80 students of Hillel. And now we come to Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, Mishnah 9. And here the Mishnah tells us Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 students. Hillel had 80 students. Wow. Hillel had 80 students. Yochanan ben Zakkai has 5 students. Who are his 5 students? Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, which is a whole story by itself. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Hyrcanus was a very, very wealthy individual. And Eliezer, his son, he says, was 27 years old, and he wants to leave to go to yeshiva. He tells his father, I want to go to yeshiva. His father says, you're old, you're an old man, 27. Get married, have kids, and maybe your children will go to yeshiva. You don't have to go to yeshiva, have kids, and then your child will go to yeshiva. You're too old already. So it says he ran away, he left his father, and his father cut him off. I've heard the story before. And he was destitute, but he went and learned with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He never had any food to eat. And one day he was starving, and his mouth was smelling, and stinking. He never ate. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked, whoever has this bad smell, please, this odor, please leave. So another student got up and walked out, so as not to shame him. It's an amazing story. And then they found out, and someone started supporting him. They started supporting him to give him food to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz. He was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz. And there's a section called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, a very, very famous section of Tosefta called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The chapter is Rabbi Eliezer, very interesting. He brings down his story over there. The second student was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah. And he was his Chavruta, Rabbi Eliezer's Chavruta, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah. And these two became the great teachers of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz were the teachers of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Yossi the Kohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, and Rabbi Elazar the son of Arach. And in the Mishnah it says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would tell us their praises. He would praise his five students. Each one had a different praise for each student. Which is very interesting when you have a student, to praise the student, to build up their self-confidence, build up their self-esteem. So he'll praise their his students. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz is like a cemented cistern. He doesn't lose a drop. You tell him something, he remembers it, retains it. His memory is amazing. Doesn't lose a drop of whatever he learned, he keeps in his mind. This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz, who was the rich man's son who ran away. He remembered everything he learned. And he never forgot anything he learned. Amazing. Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, he says, fortunate is the woman who gave birth to him. He praised the mother of Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah more than the rabbi. So he's praising his students. But he's not praising the students. He's praising the student's mother. What did she do?
Tell me that all.
The rabbi say, you know what she did? Everyone had a mother. Why? How come he singled out his mother more than the other mothers? It says because when he was a baby, she would push his carriage to the Beit HaMidrash.
She was pushing him to the glory.
In other words,
right.
Even when a baby is a baby, something filters through. It's very interesting. He went, he attended when he was a baby. He was learning even when he was young. He was filtering through the subconscious. He's hearing these arguments and he's learning when he's a... It's an amazing concept. The concept of even pre-kindergarten. Nursery already. He's going to yeshiva in nursery. He's getting some kind of intellectual something going into him. So it's an interesting concept. Even before that, it says even when a woman's pregnant and she goes, the baby is, there's something going on. The baby is learning at the same time. So that's why he praised the mother. Rabbi Shua ben Hanan, it says she would take his carriage and push him into the Beit Midrash at that time, even when he was a baby. So fortunate is she who gave birth to him. Wow. He was Rabbi Shua ben Hanan. He used to make charcoal, and he was very poor, and yet he was one of the geniuses of Israel. He was a brilliant man. He became one of the chief rabbis of Israel. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, he says he is Hasid. He was one of the original Hasidim, pious ones. He was pious. What does pious mean? Mislat Yisharim says pious means he goes beyond the requirements of the law. That's a pious person. So halacha is this. The guy says, I'm going to do a bit more. Halacha is you keep 6 hours between meat and milk. Pious person will give 8 hours. I don't know. I'll just give an example. You don't have to, but that's piety. Piety is going beyond the requirements of the law. Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, he says, Yerechet. Wow. He fears sin. So, obviously, I don't know how the other ones didn't fear sin. So he specifies he fears sin. He's Yerechet, which is a very high title. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is like an ever-increasing wellspring. What does that mean? That means you feed him some information, and he by himself can expand on it, by himself. Wow, it's amazing. He can expand on himself. So we see over here that there's a toss-up now between who is the greatest of the students. Is it Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz, who does not forget anything he learns? Or is it Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who whatever he knows, he can add to it? So that's the question now, who is greater? So there's two opinions in the Mishnah. Very interesting. There's two opinions in the Mishnah, and then we're going to discuss why is what. Rabbi Yochanan used to say, if all the sages of Israel were in one balanced scale, and Eliezer, the son of Hyrcanus, was on the other scale, he would outweigh them all. He was the greatest of all my students. He would outweigh all the other rabbis put together. Wow, what a praise. However, there's another opinion. Abba Shaul says, if all the sages of Israel were in one cup of balanced scale, including Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Elazar, the son of Arach, would outweigh them all. So there's a debate over here. Who was his top student? Was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who wouldn't forget anything? Or was it Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who would add to what he learnt? Very interesting, right? So Rav Vadi Yosef says there's two kinds of rabbis. There is what's called Sinai, and there is Oker Harim. Sinai is the person who knows everything. He knows all the sources, all the source material, and doesn't forget. And that is really similar to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And then you have Oker Harim. Oker Harim means a rabbi doesn't know that much, but what he knows, he can add to it. He can learn it out with logic, and his reasoning ability is amazing. So it's two different kinds of rabbis. One, he knows a lot, and the other one doesn't know much, but whatever he knows, he can add to it. But you need both. You need both. You need a person who knows, and you need a person who
knows a lot, that's when you have to give it out to other people.
Okay, fine. So say, but if he doesn't know it, he can't give it.
Right.
So the main thing is to know. And in those days, especially, nothing was written down. So nothing written down, so and we see the end of the story is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach moves to the seaside. He moved to a place and he thought the other rabbis would follow him. He's the greatest. He's the greatest. And no one followed him. He moved. He was disconnected from the others and he started forgetting what he learnt. He could add to whatever you told him, but he couldn't remember what he learnt. So he started forgetting and that's it. That's the end of it. That was the end of it. We don't hear much about him.
Why did he move?
Why did he move? I don't know. Maybe like the seaside. I don't know. Doesn't say. He moved, but he thought they're going to follow him. He thought they're going to follow him, and no one followed him. Which is interesting. So it just shows that a person should always stay immersed. Don't move off and live in a place which is not, there's no Jews. A person says, yeah, don't worry, everyone's going to follow me. Who says they're going to follow me? We need other people. We need friends. We need people to learn with. We need a framework. We need, okay. So now we come to the beautiful Mishnah over here. He tells his five students, and everyone, this is a very famous Mishnah, I'm sure you know it. This is in chapter 2, Pirkei Avot, Mishnah 10. Go and see what is the best trait for a person to acquire. What is the best trait there is? Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tova, a good eye. So the question is, what is a good eye? A good eye is an eye of generosity. Right? It says, the halacha, it says, who breaks the bread? So can the balabait, the owner of the house, so has a great rabbi coming to visit him, can he say, Rabbi, please do the hamotzi and break the bread for us? And the answer, no, the halacha is the bala bayit breaks the bread. The bala bayit, the owner of the house, breaks the bread. He knows how much bread he has. He knows how much to give to everyone. He knows how much he has. Someone else doesn't know, and therefore he might give him a miserly amount. The bala bayit knows how much he can give, and he bakes big slices. That's a good eye. It's a bala bayit botzea. He's going to do it with a good eye. So what is a good eye? A good eye is an eye of generosity. A good eye is someone who sees someone bought a new car and says, God bless him. So hard to have a good eye. So a person sees a beautiful house, you got a deal, you see this beautiful house, you say, Hashem should bless them with more wealth. Most people, they go, well, I want a big house, beautiful. I wish I had a house like that. You know, that's jealousy. That's coveting. It's not really coveting as long as you don't say, I want that house. That house, that is coveting. Say, I want a house like that, it's not as bad. But still, it's not a good eye. A good eye is, they should increase, they should expand, they should be blessed.
So it's not coveting if you don't want that exact.
Right, exactly. Coveting is when you want that exact. You can say, when you buy that car, I want to buy a car like it. You can't say, I want that one. And the problem is with antiques, really. Or locations. You want to buy that house because it's like a location. I like that location, I want to buy that location. That's a problem. We're going to see that in our next Tanakh class, next Shabbat, 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about Ahab and Navoth. Navoth in the vineyard. He wanted his vineyard. He was the king of Israel. He wanted that vineyard. Get your own vineyard. Go plant your own vineyard. Well, no, I want that vineyard. That was one of the final blows that destroyed Ahab. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Oneg have the same letters,
mm-hmm.
but it depends where you put the
ayin. Yeah. Where you put your ayin. Very good. So Oneg and Nega have the same, yes. Oneg is pleasure, and Nega is leprosy. So it depends where the ayin is. Depends. So a person who's jealous is more likely to inculcate the nega. Okay. So anyway, so a good eye. What is a good eye? That's something which we have to inculcate. It's so hard to have a good eye. You see someone doing well, you bless them. You see someone buying a nice house, you bless them. Someone has a new car, you bless them. That's a good eye. Says the Chafetz Chaim, famous story. He made a party. He never made parties. So why are you making a party? He says, because someone in the next town won the lottery. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for other people. To be happy for other people, that's a very big thing. To be happy for other people, that's a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua says the best trait is to have a good friend. Chaver tov. And how do you get a good friend?
To be a good friend.
Right. You have to acquire a friend. How do you acquire a friend? You have to invest in friendship. So it's not easy to get a friend. A person says, yeah, I don't have any good friends because you didn't invest in friendship. A person's got to invest in friendship. You got to be a friend and help. And when they need help, you got to help them. And then hopefully they'll help you as well when you need help. So that's a good friend. You have to invest in it. It's hard. It's hard. That's why a person's best friend should be one's spouse, because that's where we're investing ourselves. We're investing ourselves in our spouses. Hopefully. So a good eye is number one. Number two is a good friend. Number three. Rabbi Yossi says, he said, more important than a good friend is who your neighbor is. Because your friends, you see once in a while, but your neighbor's right there. It's a good neighbor, Shachen Tov. And we pray every morning, right? Keep us away from Chaver Ra, Shachen Ra. Keep us away from bad friend and a bad neighbor. We're going to see the opposites. But the very good one is a good neighbor. It's very hard today. But as long as you live in a detached house, it's not a problem. Your neighbor's not going to bother you. You have a bad neighbor with a bad dog, and you have someone who makes a loud noise at night. Nothing worse than a bad neighbor. So I had a bad neighbor once when I was in Vancouver. We used to live in a duplex. And the other guy was just opposites. They were singles. I think they were singles, having parties all night. And one day my cousin came to visit, and he couldn't take the noise anymore. He called the police. So, because the walls are like thin, you know, so he hears the police coming, and they're knocking on the door. So, you know, the neighbors are complaining about your noise. Can you stop, slow down? They said, well, they wake us up early in the morning. The kids are running around. <That's their complaint. laughs> Okay. So that's a bad neighbor. You know, they're not ready to negotiate and come to terms and make everyone happy. No, their party's at night. We're up in the day. They're up at night. They complain about us. We complain about them. Okay. So bad neighbor. A bad neighbor is worse because they have bad influences. That's the worst part of it. Okay, so that bad friend. The best thing is a good friend. The next thing, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon says, to see what comes out of your actions. Very deep. Rabbi Shimon says, a person should examine and see, if I do this, what's going to happen? What's it going to cause? What is going to be the next step in the chain? Now, most people do things, but they don't really think it through. So he says, a person should think through everything they do and think, where is this going to lead me? I'm going to do this. Where is it going to lead me? It's not just where it's going to lead me. Where is it going to lead my kids? Where is it going to lead the next generation? A person moves, for example. Move to a certain location. Where is it going to lead my children? Right? So I'll tell you, what impressed me was my father. He says, when he bought a house, it has to be next to the shul. The person buys far away from the shul, they drive on Shabbat. Where's the children going to go? What's going to happen to the children? What messages are they going to learn? So it's very important to live near the shul. Your walking distance, a good neighborhood. It has a big impact on one's kids. So a person's got to know where their deeds are going to lead. It's very important to think things through. People don't think. That's why there's so many singles today. You know, I never saw my grandmother, my grandfather, on one side, because my parents got married late. So it's tragic. So the children don't see. So it's a person's got to think things through and you know, get moving. Life is short. But there's many different applications to this rule. The person's got to see the results of one's actions. Very hard to do. Very hard to do. The person's got to be far-sighted. What else is a good thing, says Rabbi Laza, says, this is Rabbi Laza ben Arach, a good heart. Lev tov. Well, how do you define a lev tov? And the answer is, if you say the heart is the seat of everything, and it controls everything else. The mind is the heart. If the mind is good, it controls everything else. So then a person will have a good eye. A person will have think things through. So a good heart, and that's the bottom line. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says. I see Rabbi Elazar's opinion as that is the right one. So Rabbi Elazar is the right one. He says, I prefer the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach for all your words. A good heart. A person wants to be happy. How are you going to be happy if you don't have a good heart? person always thinking bad thoughts about this one, bad thoughts about that one. That's really how a person knows if they have a good heart. Are you thinking bad thoughts? How many people think bad thoughts about other people? They don't say it, but they're thinking bad thoughts. How many people think bad thoughts about their spouse? Bar minan. Terrible. It's terrible. And a person's got to do teshuvah from the bad thoughts as well. So you've got to do teshuvah on bad thoughts. And that's an evil heart. That's a bad heart. A person's got to know what the good heart. What is a good heart? Always thinking good thoughts about people. Thinking this one's a person, this, you know. Judging people favorably. That's a good thought. Having good thoughts about people. Not being jealous about people. Not coveting what they have. That's also thoughts. All thoughts. So a good heart covers everything. A person has to have a good heart. How do you have a good heart? It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of training to have a good heart. Okay, so now let's just go back and just explain a little bit more. He used to recount their praises. Rabbi Eliezer is a cemented cistern. He doesn't lose a drop. He doesn't forget any detail of his learning. Rabbi Yeshua, blessed is his mother. He was a very fine person. His midot either came from his mother. That's one of the opinions over here. Or she would bring him to the Beit Midrash at a very young age, so he would acquire the habit of learning. Rabbi Yossi is a chassid, a pious person. Rabbi Shimon is fearful of sin. Rabbi Lazar is like a spring with ever-increasing vigor. And then we had a discussion, who was greater, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer, who didn't forget a drop of his learning. Rabbi Lazar was like a vigorous spring, always has brilliant ideas. And then he says, he asks the question, what is the best habit a person should adopt in his life? Rabbi Eliezer says, a good eye, which a person should be happy with, different ways of explaining it, a good eye. A person should be generous, the eye of generosity, always judging people favorably. A person should be happy with his lot and wish well to others, which is the kind of happiness, our topic, right? How do you get happy? And the answer is, you wish other people well. When you wish other people well, you yourself will be happy as well. You wish, always looking at other people and saying, I wish I had this, and I wish that you'd never be happy. So a person who wishes other people well is satisfied with what they have. We talked about that's the secret of happiness. So a good eye is very critical. And Rabbi Yeshua says a good friend. You be a good friend to others, they'll be a good friend to you. Rabbi Yossi says a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon says an ability to foresee the future. And Rabbi Lazar says a person should have a good heart, which is a good mind. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I approve of his choice. Last choice, Rabbi Lazar's choice. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, who is like a vigorous spring, his choice, the good heart, includes everything else. Okay. So the question is, what does it mean? And that's the question. What does it mean? And then the next Mishnah goes through the bad side of everything. What is the bad side? What is the opposite, the bad of everything? And it goes through, I'm not going to go through it now, which it really leads us to next week's parasha of Ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. All these answers really are leading to this conclusion of Ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. So all these attributes have a basis in the Torah. The person's got to find, where's the source? Now he's asking his students, what is the best trait? So here I have a beautiful Dvar Torah. It's a beautiful Dvar Torah. Now where in the Torah does the word Tov come? He's asking, what is the Derech Tova? What is the right way, the best way, the good way for a person to choose in life? So where is the first time it says the word Tov? So, you know, there's an interesting concept. Whenever you want to know what a word means in Hebrew, look at the first time it's used in the Torah.
It was
Bereshit, of course. Yeah. So an important attribute has to have a basis in the Torah. Where is this attribute in the Torah? So they looked at Bereshit, looked for the word good. And after the first 31 words, they found it. In verse 4 it says, Hashem saw the light and saw it was good. And Hashem divided between the light and between the darkness. So Rabbi Eliezer says, God saw it was good. God saw good. The Ayin Tova. God saw it was good, which means Ayin Tova. Hashem saw, the sight is good. The sight is good, so a person has to have a good eye. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Beautiful. Second disciple of Yeshua saw, he says, light and darkness were interwoven. They're interwoven. And living side by side. And that was good. So he replies, a good friend. Because you have light and dark, and it was good. So you need a good friend. So light has a good friend called darkness. Why is darkness good? Because why is it a good friend of light? Because without the darkness, you wouldn't appreciate the light. So the good friends complement each other. The good friend complements one another. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said it was good, which means a good friend. Rabbi Eliezer said a good eye. Hashem saw it was good. Rabbi Yeshua saw darkness and light. He said, a good friend. Rabbi Yossi also saw light and darkness were interwoven, but he saw them as neighbors, not friends. So he says, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon saw Hashem divided between the light and the darkness. Hashem separated. So he says, listen, division must be good, or even for better, he says. If you understand that the light and darkness were neither friends nor neighbors, they were adversaries. And how can it be good? And the answer is that if you have to see the results, it doesn't look good at the first stage, but you have to look at the results of the deeds. Because right now, light and darkness is not good. When Hashem separated them, and Hashem gives them a specific task, it became good. And therefore he says, you got to see the results of what does. Amazing, amazing idea. So right now it's not good, but the result of it is going to be good. And therefore he says, a person should see the result of the consequence of their deeds. Brilliant. So Rabbi Lazar, where does he say good heart? Where does he find a good heart? So he says, he counted the words, and he found that the word good is number 32. 32 is the gematria of the word lev, heart. So the word good is number 32, and number 32 is lev, must be a good heart. Hashem is alluding that it should be a person should have a good heart. Beautiful idea. So he says, a person should have a good heart. Beautiful. Isn't that good? Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. So now we could tie this into Sefirat HaOmer as well. How do you tie it to Sefirat HaOmer? Because it says the students of Rabbi Akiva, they died for how long? 33rd year. 33rd year, they stopped dying. That's why we're happy on the 33rd day. Very few people died on the 33rd day. That's why we're happy. So 32 days they died, which is Lev. Why they died for 32 days? And the answer is because they did not have good hearts. So as they may treat each other well on the outside, but internally, and they were judged on a very high level, obviously, Bezra Hashem, we're not going to be judged like that. But Hashem really does look at the heart. We have to worry about what we're thinking. Hashem knows our thoughts. A person has bad thoughts about people and jealous thoughts about people. Hashem doesn't like that. And that's what David HaMelech says in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Anyone know what Psalm 24 is? Psalm 24, Mi Ale Behar Hashem, who will climb the mountain of God? David HaMelech says, Neki Kapayim or Bar Levav, a person with clean hands and a pure heart. So we see a good heart. A pure heart means he doesn't want to do bad to anyone. So a pure heart is very critical, and that is really a secret of happiness. The secret of happiness is a person can't be happy if they have evil inside them, if they have a bad heart, if they're thinking bad thoughts all the time. A person can't be happy. So a person's got to try and fix that inside, being happy with themselves, being happy with other people, not worrying about other people, not getting other people get under their skin, not thinking bad thoughts about other people, thinking good things about other people, and you'll find that the happiness will come. That's very important. Very important. And now we come to the student of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who is Rabbi Akiva. So why do I think that Rabbi Akiva is one of the happiest people around? And the answer is because whenever everyone else was crying, he was laughing. He was a contrarian. Everyone else is crying, he's laughing. Very amazing. Where did he get that trait from? What's amazing, amazing. So, I'm going to give you all the stories. There's so many stories about Rabbi Akiva the Talmud. But let's start off with a very famous story. It says they go... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good.
Other students as well, no?
Who?
The other rabbis.
Yeah, of course, of course. But I single out Rabbi Akiva because of the stories. We're going to see these stories. Rabbi Akiva is the happiest. Let's see. So number one, the Talmud starts off with, he always had questions from the procurator of Rome. The procurator of Judea was a guy called Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus was a very nasty procurator who killed some of the great rabbis. We're going to see the 10 great rabbis were killed by him, including Rabbi Akiva, who was eventually killed by him. And he always tried to ask questions about Judaism and try and knock Judaism. So one day he comes to Rabbi Akiva. He says, Akiva, he says, tell me, what's greater, the handiworks of God or the handiworks of man? So Rabbi Akiva is very smart. He knows what he's trying to get at. He said, the handiworks of man. So what? Handiworks of man are greater than handiworks of God. Look, God created the heaven, created the earth. How you compare handiworks of man? So listen, let's bring it down to man's level and see what Hashem does and see what man does. He brought him some grain and he brought him some bread. He says, listen, handiwork of God is the grain. Handiwork of man is the bread. What's better? See, the handiwork of man is better. So straight away, Shiras Rufus says, this is his main question. He says, why do you do Brit Milah? In other words, if the handiwork of God is good, why are you? You're gonna come along and improve on it? Amar Rabbi Akiva says, I knew exactly where you were going. And that's why I said the handiwork of man is better. That's exactly what I said. So, I'm going to give you a proof. What are you going to do? Hashem creates the person. He's born with the umbilical cord attached. What would happen if he didn't cut it? So you see, the handiwork of man, Hashem gives us the mechanism by which we can improve on his work. Hashem wants us to improve on his work. So that was Rabbi Akiva's answer. It continued. Tunis Rivers asked Rabbi Akiva, if Hashem loves poor people, why doesn't he give them money? So Rabbi Akiva says, in order that we should be saved from Gehinnom by giving them money. We, through the merit of the Tzedakah, we are saved from Gehinnom. So, okay. Now we come to the famous story. Rabbi Akiva was walking down the street, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yeshua, all these four rabbis walking down the street, and they heard a terrible noise. They're going to Rome, and they heard the sounds of Rome from far away. You can imagine this metropolis, this massive metropolis, Rome in those days, and they're going to seek an audience with the Caesar, try and revoke some of the decrees against the Jewish people, and they come, and they're far away, they can already hear the sounds of this great metropolis, and four of the rabbis started crying, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amrulo, they said to him, why are you laughing? Amalem, why are you crying? And they said, because look, these guys who bow down to idols and they bring incense to idolatry, they're sitting in some comfort and they're sitting in this lavish town. And we, our house of God is burnt and our city is destroyed. Well, you're not going to cry. The idolaters are enjoying life and we are just sitting in destruction. We're not going to cry. He said, that's why I'm laughing. If those who transgress God's will are having such a great time, those who are doing God's will eventually get much more. So look at his attitude to life. If those who are transgressing God's will are being successful, so successful, they're living in luxury, and they're having such a great time, how much more so God will give us in the future? So that's why I'm laughing. He's a contrarian. Imagine, even though things were destroyed, he's looking at the bright side of things. Okay, that's the first story. So now he's a happy person. Why is he laughing? Everyone else is crying. He's laughing. Number two. They were going to Yerushalayim, this is after the destruction. And they get to Har HaTzofim, which is Mount Scopus. Today, what's there? Hebrew University, Har HaTzofim. Hadassah Hospital, part of one branch on Har HaTzofim. When they got to Har HaTzofim, they ripped their clothes. They saw the destruction. They ripped their clothes. When they get to the Temple Mount, they saw a fox coming out from where the Holy of Holies used to be. So straight away they all started crying. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. That's why I say he's the happiest person around. He's always happy. Biggest destruction, he's laughing away. They said, Akiva, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? He says, because the place which the Torah says in Bamidbar Aleph, Hazara Karev Mumad, the person who goes in there, who is not a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, is going to die. And now look at the foxes going in. We're not going to cry. And that, he said, that's why I'm laughing. Why? Because there's two prophecies. There's a prophecy of Uriah, which is in the book of Micha, where Uriah predicts destruction. And then there's a prophecy of Zechariah, who predicts that eventually, he says, this is one of my beautiful things. Eventually, the elders, the old men and the old women would be sitting in the town squares of Yerushalayim. So he says, until the first prophecy came true, we couldn't look forward to the second one. But now that the first prophecy has come true, I'm already looking forward to the second prophecy. So I see the destruction. One prophecy came true, the prophecy of destruction came true. I'm now looking forward to the second prophecy of rebuilding. which we're seeing today. We're lucky. Like you go to Yerushalayim, you see the children playing in the streets, the old people sitting on the side. Amazing. It's amazing. This prophecy came true. After 2,000 years, it took a long time. We're the lucky generation. We really are. So now that the prophet, I'm seeing this prophecy is going to come true. So I'm comforted that the destruction happened already. So what happens? They tell Akiva, Akiva, Nichamtanu, you have comforted us. We like your point of view. We like your happy point of view. We have a positive perspective. So you have comforted us. You, and they repeat it twice. You have comforted us. So that's why I say Akiva was one of the happiest people around. To see in the bad, and look further, look beyond the bad, and look for the good that's going to come out in the future. So Akiva had this perspective that he could see beyond the immediate bad and look forward to the... So this is an interesting midrash. So the midrash says, this is Yalkut Shevoni, Natata Simcha Belibi. You place happiness in my heart. Israel said, if the non-Jewish people who have seven mitzvot, and they have peace and prosperity, we who have 613 mitzvot, how much more so we're going to get so much peace and prosperity? That is what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So even if you don't keep all seven, they can still have peace and prosperity. We're going to keep six. How do you keep 613? Even if you don't keep all 613, if you keep 100 or 200, look how many mitzvot you're keeping. So it's tremendous. Even the sinners of Israel are full of mitzvot like a pomegranate. That's how we know it's not 613, because they're the sinners of Israel. They can't keep 613. So it must be less than 613. There's all sorts of stories, you know, they counted the seeds of the pomegranate. Anyway. But the whole idea of the story is that it's not 613. It shouldn't be. Why? Because they're the sinners of Israel. They keep mitzvot like the pomegranate. So not keeping all 613. So interesting. So that's the positive idea, that there's no such thing as a Jew who's not full of mitzvot like a pomegranate. There's no such thing. Because there's so many different mitzvot, it's impossible not to do some of them. And a lot of them are just done by default. You know, all the negatives are done by default. You didn't rob the bank today. I didn't kill someone today. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't do these things. Right? They're easy, right? Not so easy, but they're easy. So it's not so bad. It's easy to be, you know. A lot of them are negatives. Okay. So anyway, so let's move on to another story. Okay, so then he's 40 years old. He's 40 years old. He never learned Torah in his life. Doesn't know even Aleph Bet. He went to learn Aleph Bet with his own son. He goes with his son to yeshiva. He goes to the cheder with his son. Can you imagine, you have to have guts to be able to go sit next to your son in the school and start learning Aleph Bet with your son. He had humility, tremendous humility. And then eventually he gets more advanced, but he learns with tremendous poverty, because his father-in-law, who was this wealthy guy, Kalvas Abuas, was so wealthy, and he cut him off. He cut off his daughter because she married this ignorant shepherd. But he could see the future. He was happy. Why? Because he could see he had faith in himself. He had faith in God. Eventually everything's going to go well. I see, if I'm learning, I'm going to get to a certain level. That he promises his wife, look at it, he promises his wife, what an audacious promise. He says, eventually I will buy you this jewelry which is called Yushalayim Shel Zahav. Before the song. Yushalayim Shel Zahav, which is actually a shape of Yushalayim, Rashi says, in the form of a tiara. It's had the outline of Jerusalem in gold. So it's called Yushalayim Shel Zahav. I'm going to buy you this jewelry called Yushalayim Shel Zahav. Can you imagine? Here he is, this destitute pauper, promising his wife this tremendous promise. I will buy you this jewelry. So why? How could he promise her that? And the answer is he really had faith. He could see it now. It wasn't like he was living in the past. He's not like he's living in the present. He's living in his dream of future posterity. And that's why he was always laughing. He was always happy. Why? Because he was always living in, I know things are going to get better. I know things are going to get better. I know things will get better. When he saw the water, this famous story, he was sitting by the spring, and he was thinking to himself, can I learn Torah or not? I'm too old. I'm 40 years old. And he's seeing the drips of water on the rock, which made an impression on the rock. Everyone knows the story. Fantastic story. He really thought that time, don't worry, it's going to happen. The Torah is going to go into me. In other words, he had no questions about it. He really believed that time that it's going to happen. And that's why he was always happy. He really believed. And that's why he says, Kol ma de'avid rachmana letav avid. Whatever God does is for the best. Everything God does is for the best. It may not look like it's good right now, but eventually God does it for the best. And that's, it says, the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halakha, that a person should always live their life and say these words always. Whatever God does for the best, whatever God does for the best, whatever God. So even when things are down, and that's, it's so hard to do, a person's sick. Whatever God does is for the best. Whatever God does for the best. A person lost some money. Whatever God does is for the best. A person's going to keep on saying to themselves. And that's the test. The test is, are you positive when you're down? It's very easy to be positive when you're up. It's very hard to be positive when it's down. So that's the test. The test is to be positive when it's down. And that is a proof a person has emunah and bitachon. And that's really the key. So that was Rabbi Akiva. That's how Rabbi Akiva stayed happy. Why? Because he was actually, his faith was so strong, he was living in the future. He was living in the good side. So right now, things are bad, but I'm not living in the now. I'm living in my future dreams, where I believe really it's going to happen. I believe that eventually the cities of Jerusalem will be rebuilt, and there'll be elderly people sitting in the squares of Yerushalayim. He's living it now in his mind's eye. He can see it now. Because he believed in that prophecy so well that he's seeing his mind's eye. He's seeing the future prosperity of the Jewish people. If the Rome is doing so well, so how much more so the Jews will have so well? So he's seeing it now. That's why he's happy. That's why he's laughing now. Okay, let's finish off with this last story. And this is a famous story. I'm sure you all know it, so I'm just repeating it. So that will be engraved in our minds, and we'll think a bit more often. He was walking to a certain place, but actually he had three things with him. What are the three things? Everyone knows the story. Go on, let's go. Three things. His rooster, his donkey, and his lantern. His rooster, his donkey, his lantern. And he's going to this place. And what happens? He goes, and it's really getting late. It's past dark. It's dark. And he knocks on the walls of the town, the door of the town. Let me in. Let me in. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Let me in. No, I'm sorry. It's curfew time. We don't let anyone in after when it's dark. You just have to wait outside till tomorrow morning. So what he does, he goes into the forest next door, and he says, "Kol ma David Rachmana letav avid." I'm going to sleep in the forest. Okay, whatever God does for the best. And what happens is the wind comes and blows out his lantern, pitch black. Whatever God does for the best. A fox comes and eats up his rooster. Whatever God does for the best. And a lion comes and eats up his donkey. So at night he hears a tremendous noise. He doesn't want to hear screaming, shouting, fighting. He's in the forest. He's lucky he's in the forest. He's hiding in the forest. Doesn't say a word. And now he's thinking, you know, thank God. He says, if they'd seen my light, they'd have got me. If they'd have heard my rooster, they would have come looking for me. If they'd have heard the donkey, they would have caught me as well. And then he wakes up in the morning. He sees the Roman legions had come that night and taken all the people in the town as slaves. Imagine, think about how he was saved. Hashem saved him. Sometimes we're saved through bad things. Amazing. Think about it. The pogroms in Russia that caused the Jews to run away to come to America. So we're saved through bad things. A person's saved through a bad thing. And we have to look at it and say, this is bad, but I can see the future. I can see the positive sides. There's a tremendous future. So it's hard to see. And that's the thing. That was the greatest Rabbi Akiva. So a person who wants to be happy has to have emunah, has to have bitachon. And not only that, but they have to also envision in their mind's eye the good things. And that's the power of the mind. Envision in mind's eye the good things, the future that's going to happen because of this faith, because of their faith in God. Okay. Now we come to the opposite. And this is a sad story. Okay. When Rabbi Eliezer was sick. Eliezer, this great Rabbi Eliezer, is sick. And the students went to see him. And he told them, Hashem is very angry in the world. They were all everyone was crying. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. And they said to him, why are you laughing? He said to them, why are you crying? You know, he's always asking the opposite questions. That's a Jewish answer. A Jewish answer is another question. Why are you crying? They said, here we see the Sefer Torah. My Rabbi Eliezer is a walking Sefer Torah. She's in pain. We're not going to cry. He said, that's why I'm laughing. I'm laughing because he's in pain. Every time I saw my rabbi, he had tremendously good luck. This Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was wealthy, very wealthy. His wine never became vinegar. He had such good luck. His wine never turned into vinegar. In those days, they would store wine. And it was, you know, out of 10 barrels of wine, one barrel would turn into vinegar. His wine never turned into vinegar. His flax, which they make linen from, never got dried out. His honey always stayed sweet. You know, sometimes honey goes bad as well. They never had vacuum packing in those days. So I said to myself, maybe Hashem is giving him his reward in this world. He's not going to get Olam Haba, he's going to get all his reward in this world. Imagine, if everything goes so smoothly in life, a person's going to start worrying. Imagine, Rabbi Akiva is worrying. If everything goes smoothly in life, it's a sign that a person, it's impossible. There must be something a person's going to be paid back for. So if he's not going to pay back for in this world, he's going to be paid back for in the next world. And therefore, I was worrying about him. When he was happy, having such joy and such a good life, I was in pain. But now I see he's in pain, I'm happy. Such an upside down world, right? He's in pain, I'm happy. Why am I happy? I'm happy because I see he's going to get his next world reward as well. He's getting some suffering in this world. He must have done something wrong in this world. There's no such thing as a person who never did anything wrong. So he's happy when he sees it's the opposite, exactly, completely opposite. Why? Because he sees that the suffering he's having is going to clean the slate. He's going to have a great next world. Amazing. So that's a very interesting perspective on happiness, is how to get the alternate view, how to look at the other side of the story. But very important to always say these words, comes to the Tova, or whatever God does for the best, whatever Hashem does for the best, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll turn it to the best. And as that's how we move from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaZmaut, you know, we see all the loss of life. 23,000 soldiers gave their lives for Israel. But thank God we have to look at the bad side, but also the good side. And Gamzul Atom is Rad Hashem. Hashem will make it last, permanent, and every year will get better and better. The dream will get bigger and bigger. Is Rad Hashem.